Hey, it's Tess Green, and this is We Are All Stories.
Hey guys, how's it going? I hope everyone had a great week. Mine was kind of a gong show. A little busy, but I guess that's expected from, you know, long weekend. Short week, busy week, it's always how it happens. Always a little bit of a challenge in that way. I love this episode, guys. Such a good episode. Why has series 2 been just so good? Every episode I feel like I'm really into. Last series, there was a lot of episodes that I was like, meh, it's okay. But like, so far, all of these are pretty awesome. I mean, coming up, I don't love Idiot's Lantern. I do love the costuming part of it, but I don't love the actual episode a lot. I don't love the villain. But other than that, I think this whole series I really like. So one bad episode in a whole series and the episode's not even that bad. But this episode's awesome. The production value of this episode is fantastic. Guys, Madame de Pompadour's outfits, I guess, are so awesome. Like, it really feels like 18th century France. I'm really impressed by this whole episode. So that's what I have to say about that. Let's give the little overview of this episode. So this is series 2, episode 4, The Girl in the Fireplace. This is directed by Yoros Lin and written by Stephen Moffat. And the original air date is May 6, 2006. I love Stephen Moffat episodes. I think that's just an overview of what I love. Stephen Moffat, I mean, I love them all. Let's be honest. Yeah. We have the regular cast, Dr. Rose and Mickey. Mickey is now joined on as another companion this episode. And we have Renette, played by Sophia Miles, who is awesome. Guys, awesome. She's like the main character other than the trio, obviously. And I really like what she does. She's so good at it. And really pretty. It's kind of unfair. But no, it's great. I like so many parts of this episode. Obviously, the production value is one of my favorite parts because you could just... looks fantastic. Like all these beautiful cathedrals and halls and ballrooms. It's just great. I like the dynamic when we add Mickey. I like the dynamic how Rose is not the main woman in this episode. She kind of takes a step back and she looks more modern. I think they made her look more modern with her crimped hair and her jeans and t-shirt this episode. So it's interesting to see that contrast, because usually she's the romantic lead in the episode, or at least part of that. And last episode too, when she was school reunion, there was that whole drama with her and Sarah Jane Smith. So that was quite, like, Rose was quite centered in that episode. This episode is not so Rose centric. It's actually more doctor centric. And I guess this is one of the first ones in a while. I mean, we've had, let's see, we did the Christmas episode where the doctor basically wasn't there. And then we had New Earth where Rose wasn't there. And then we had Tooth and Claw where they're both fighting and they're separated. School Reunion where she learns the future of her and the doctor really isn't the center of that one either. So this is a really, other than maybe New Earth, because I don't know, New Earth was funny because it wasn't really Rose, but she was still kind of the center. So this is really the first doctor-centric episode this series. So it is quite interesting to see that and to feel his pain and his journey. And we learn a little bit more about his journey when Renette and him mind link. I don't know what you would call that, mind link. So it's quite interesting. I really enjoy that. But let's get started.
We are under attack. The They're our creatures. And they even think they're human. We can't stop them.
The clock is broken. He's coming.
Did you hear what I said?
Listen to me. There is a man coming to her side. He has watched over me my whole life, and he will not desert me tonight.
What are you talking about? What man?
The only man save you I have ever loved. No, don't look like that. There's no time. You have your duties. I am your mistress. Go to your queen.
Are you there? Can you hear me? I need you now. You promised. The clock on the mantle is broken. It is time. Doctor!
Okay, as I say always, I love the cold opens that Doctor Who does. Always good cold opens. This is a solid one. I like this one because it's a nice hint of what's coming up. It kind of brings the tension up. It's a clip, kind of, from the end of the episode, which is also interesting. Like, it's a clip from the drama, and we go back to the beginning of, like, several hours earlier, kind of idea after the cold open. But I like this because it's kind of meshing with the episode of Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey kind of feeling. The whole idea, sort of this episode is the time windows. So we do jumps in time. Time doesn't really make sense. Renette says it later about how the Doctor can just jump like a page from a book. Like her life is put in rooms like the pages from the book. And it really does feel like this, especially when they put a later clip in the beginning. It kind of just also messes with the time of Renette's life. Her life has been reduced to minor clips that we can just peer through. Kind of also how we see history, and I really enjoy that, how we just see it in clips. We see, oh, this happened on this day. We don't see the whole story. We don't feel the whole emotional journey. We have it in pages and books. We just have lines and mentions and thoughts. We don't have the full story. We don't go the slow route. When we look through history, we go the quick route, and so does Rose and the Doctor. I do love how in series 7, maybe 6, I don't know, how there's one episode where the Doctor comes to Earth, and the cube episode, and he's there, and he gets so bored because he's so used to everything just going so fast. He doesn't usually stay in places for long periods of time unless there's high drama, so that it doesn't feel like it's a long period of time. So I do like how this time is fast for the Doctor, fast for us, slow for Renette. I do enjoy that, and I also love everything this actress does. She's just great. That's basically it. Just great. So cold open gives a nice check, raises the tension, brings up the time issues, shows kind of who Renette is, and shows that she is in love with the Doctor, which I do know he's a feel a little wibbly wobbly about that because she doesn't know him very well. I mean, she mind linked with him, so maybe that gave her that feeling, but he's her hero. He saved her a few times. She's maybe infatuated with him. I wouldn't say love. Love is a bit of a leap. She doesn't really know the Doctor well enough. I don't know. The mind link is the only thing that kind of makes that a little bit iffy.
It's a spaceship. Really, I got a spaceship on my first go.
Oh, Mickey. I love this dynamic of adding Mickey. I mean, I know Rose and Mickey are not the main part of this episode, but we do see a little bit of Rose and Mickey being best pals. And I love their dynamic when they're best pals. Rose really didn't want Mickey to join because she felt like he was intruding. But if Mickey wasn't here this episode, Rose would have been really bored and alone. So I'm glad that Mickey's there, and I'm glad that he adds that dynamic to the team. We kind of need a third person. When Jack was on the crew last series, it was a nice addition as well. So I really like the dynamic of three on the TARDIS. And we do bring them back all the time. We'll always have twos and threes and it'll move around. But I really like the dynamic of three. I think that's a great, great dynamic because it brings in that third person. It may be a third wheel, maybe not. But it does make it a little bit more exciting on the TARDIS. And I love Mickey this episode. He's great. He's learning all the things. He's learning all the things Rose learned from season one. Like translation of the TARDIS. All these things about time, how they always are supposed to walk off from the Doctor. I love that. So, great. Great dynamic. I like how this is his first journey on the TARDIS. And he's super stoked, just like Rose was super stoked in the beginning.
Okay, that's scary.
I'm scared of a broken clock.
Just a bit scared, yeah. Just a little tiny bit. Because you see, if this clock's broken, and it's the only clock in the room, then what's that? But you see, that's not a clock. You can tell by the resonance. Too big. 6 feet, I'd say. Size of a man.
What is it?
Now, let's think. If you were a thing that ticked and you were hiding in someone's bedroom first thing you do, break the clock, no one notices the sound of one clock ticking, but two, you might start to wonder if you're really alive. Stay on the bed, lie down in the middle. Don't put your hands or feet over the edge.
Okay, guys, this clock thing, kind of creepy. I love how this moment is kind of a horror moment. Don't look, Renette. It's under your bed. Blah. Like, that's creepy. It's creepy. It's scary. You're scaring this 7-year-old girl. Like, that's terrifying. David Tennant, you're so creepy. I know you play those roles so well, so I can't judge you for that. But the way you brought that up was so scary, and I really like how it's kind of, this episode is starting out, I mean, we have a lot of other parts to it, but it also kind of starts out like a horror movie. We bring up this topic again in the way later seasons of The Doctor, with what's under the bed and the creepiness of that, and there's that one really creepy episode that I don't love, where we see some figure that's under the sheet. I don't know what it is. And that kind of reminds me of that. This is really creepy, the whole clock broken, then it makes you think, when you're at home, is there a clock broken? But come on, let's be honest, guys, we wouldn't notice if there's two clocks ticking. So many things make noise nowadays, we wouldn't notice it, but in that time, they would. So they break the clocks. I do like it, quite interesting, quite creepy, and this little girl, such a good job. She really does play a good young Renette. I enjoy that.
So why is it just like that? Field trip to France, some kind of basic camouflage protocol. Nice needlework. Show me about the face. Oh, you are beautiful. Oh, really, you are. You're gorgeous. Look at that. Space-age clockwork. I love it. I've got chills. Listen, seriously. I mean, this is from the heart. And by the way, count those. It would be a crime. It would be an act of vandalism to disassemble you. But that won't stop me.
Okay, let's be honest, I added this clip because it was funny. but I do like how the Doctor just loves things. He loves mechanics, he loves ingenuity, he loves technology, he loves these things. That's why he explores, to learn more, to see how people do things, to be learning, just to always learn. And I do really connect with the Doctor in that I love learning new things. So yeah, I really like it. And I like this clip, so that's why I put it in there. It has no real purpose. Yeah, guys, sorry. It's gonna happen from now on. Just random clips that I like, as if it hasn't already happened. So, yeah.
Poisson. Renette Poisson. No. Wait, Renette Poisson. Lady Madame Etoile. Lady Mistress of Louis XV. I'm Crown Queen of France. Actress, artist, musician, dancer, courtesan. Fantastic girl! Who the hell are you? I'm the Doctor, and I just snogged Madame de Pompadour. Rose! Nikki! Every time! It's rule one! Don't hold on! I know! Rule one! Did I learn anything in this shit?
Okay, again, this one's just funny, but I do like how Rose knows the rules of hanging with the Doctor. Doctor's like, rule one, don't run off. But like, come on, Doctor. You can't follow that rule. You run off. You are that person. You have to let them run free. That's how you live. That's how you examine and learn and do new things, is you run off and leave people stranded. So, of course, Rose is going to run off and teach Mickey this. And yeah, so I'm not really surprised. I think it's hilarious, and I do think it's one of those things when you're, I don't know what a good example is, like a parent, when you're like, follow, do what I say, not what I do, because half the things you do are going to be wrong. Like, you're going to say, oh, don't yell as you're yelling, or like these kind of things. I don't know. There's better examples, but it's just really funny because those things always happen where you're like, no, you're not supposed to do that. But they're like, but you just did it. So funny. So true. Oh, doctor. Oh, doctor.
What's happened to the crew? Where are they?
We did not have reports.
There should have been over 50 people on your ship. Where did they go?
We did not have reports.
50 people? They'll just disappear. When? Oh. You didn't have reports, so you used the crew.
The crew?
We found a camera with an eye beam. And there was a heart wired into machinery.
It's just what it was programmed to. Repairing the ship any way it can with whatever it can find. No one told it the crew weren't on the menu. What did you say the flight deck smelled of?
Someone cooking.
Fresh plus heat. Barbecue.
Okay, yeah, this is gross. I don't love this part. I mean, I like it for what it is. Like, it's pretty ingenious. It's pretty, like, a good story building. But it's gross. Replacing the ship with the crew is gross. There's a heart, the eye, smell of someone cooking. It's gross. I just don't appreciate it. I just don't like it. Yeah, just gross. I mean, they do a really good job at making this episode pretty creepy. Creepy and then gross and scary, so it's kind of like a thriller kind of thing. I do enjoy that. I think that they do a good job of that. It's just, again, kind of gross. But, you know, the Doctor Who has to hit every little genre they find, and so I really like this. I like the tension building. I like how this kind of solves that. Like, how we kind of figure out what's going on, and we're like, oh no, oh shoot, we're gonna be next kind of idea. Brings up the tension, which is always good in a story. So, they do a good job with that.
Why her? All of history to choose from. Why specifically her?
We are the same.
We're not the same. We are in no sense the same.
We are the same.
Get out of here. Get out of this instant.
No.
I love the random aside, guys, before I go into this clip. I like how the sets compare. The lighting, the design of both sets, so France and the ship. I love the contrast there, how France is so bright and colorful and rich, and the ship is so blue, black, dark kind of color. So it's very good contrast there. It shows the difference, modern versus like old, traditional. I don't know what word I was trying to use there, but I like that contrast. And it does show with the characters as well, as I said before, like Renette versus Rose. They're very different in their costume, in their design, in their speech. Like, you can see the difference there, and I do love it when they contrast two things together in episodes. Especially Doctor Who, they never seem like, they don't ever seem to skimp out on certain things, and episode design is one of them, so I really, really appreciate that in this episode especially, because you can't skimp out when you're doing 18th century France. I'm sorry. Some things you can skimp out on the ship, maybe, because it's just like a bunch of junk and you light it specially and it looks great, but 18th century France, you can't really skimp out on, and I really appreciate that they didn't. This clip, back to the clip now, is very interesting. I don't really understand it. I mean, I sort of do now. It wasn't really into this watch that I caught this, but they say every time I've watched this episode, every time, I've been like, why Renette? Why look for her and her brain? Like, why? I don't understand. And at the end, spoilers, I guess, guys, I hope you've seen all this episode and not watching it as I talk through it. At the end, it's her ship. It's called the Madame de Pompadour ship. It has a picture of her on it. Don't know why. Still don't really get that. Like, why is her ship named after her and designed after her, I guess. Like, it's a ship that uses her as a base. But this watch, I saw when they asked her, they said, "We are the same." And for me, that made me think, oh, they're picking her because she is the ship. Still a little couple holes. I don't really understand why the ship is named after her, etc. But it does make a little bit more sense that because it's her ship, that's why they're picking her. And we are the same because they are made of this ship and the ship is her, sort of. There's still a couple gaps there. It's not quite as solid as I would like. And that end, that like surprise at the end when you see her picture and the name of the ship, it doesn't really answer everything for me. Why is there a ship named after her? And I know people name ships after things randomly all the time, but because it has her picture in there, and that's like an actual, like a painting, that's like actually a nice painting. So that's not cheap. So they actually designed the ship after her. It wasn't just like, oh, let's call it this for fun. Like, I don't know, let's name the ship after my cat Daisy. So it's not like that. I don't know. It just, the logic jumps a little bit there. And I just want to know if you guys know any more about it than me. That's all. I don't know. So maybe you know. That is my question. But I understand a little bit more than I usually did. But I don't understand it all. So explain to me if you know better than me. Because I don't know all. As I always say.
Oh, such a lonely childhood.
It'll pass. Stay with me.
Doctor. So lonely. So very, very alone.
You mean alone? You've never been alone in your life. When did you start calling me doctor?
Such a lonely little boy. Lonely then and lonelier now. How can you bear it?
How did you do that?
A door once opened, maybe step through in either direction. My doctor. My lonely doctor. Dance with me.
I can't.
Dance with me.
This is a night you dance with the king.
Then first I shall make him jealous.
I can't.
Doctor. There comes a time, Time Lord, when every lonely little boy must learn how to dance.
Okay, guys, I love this part. I love it when we learn more about the Doctor. Because he is this big unknown question mark for us. Really, we don't know much about him. I mean, there is a classic series, so we could learn a little bit more. But really, the Doctor is kind of the unknown question mark. We are Rose in this journey. We understand Rose. She's a human. She has problems. We have those problems. We do not have the Doctor's problems. So it is always nice to see a little bit of what's going on inside his head. I like this moment where he's so lonely, which we, let's be honest, we knew that already. But still, I do enjoy it, and I do enjoy where they take that, and I like how smart Renette is. I really appreciate that she's not a pushover, that she chose her life in France. She chose to be the mistress. She chose everything, and it's all her, like, she is the entrepreneur, the intelligent one. I like that. Because often women are just posed as these kind of like ornaments, especially in that time. But I like how she has agency and she is this strong person. Which is, again, a nice balance for Rose. Because Rose is also a strong person, even though we don't really see much of it this episode. Just a little.
They killed him. They
did it! They killed it! I'm gonna spread my wings and do that.
Have you met the French?
My God, that I had a party!
Oh, look at what the cat dragged in. The oncoming storm.
Mm, you sound just like your mother.
What have you been doing? Where have you been?
Well, among other things, I think I just invented the banana daiquiri a couple of centuries ago. Do you know, they've never even seen a banana before. Always take a banana to a party, Rose. Bananas are good.
Okay, guys, I put this one in again because it was funny. Always bring a banana to a party. That's great, Doctor. I just love it. His humor is pretty on point this episode. I do really appreciate that. Thank you, Doctor, for being so on point with your humor. That's all. That's all I have to say about that one.
So in 5 years, these creatures will return. What can be done?
The doctors keep them talking. They're kind of programmed to respond to you now. You won't be able to stop him, but you might be able to delay him a bit.
Until?
Until the doctor can get there.
He's coming, then.
He promises.
But he cannot make his promises in person.
He'll be there when you need him. That's the way it's got to be.
It's the way it's always been. The monsters and the doctor. It seems you cannot have one without the other.
Tell me about it. The thing is, you weren't supposed to have either. Those creatures are messing with history. None of this was ever supposed to happen to you.
Supposed to happen? What does that mean? It happened, child. And I would not have it any other way. One may tolerate a world of demons for the sake of an angel.
Now, this is a real thought. The Doctor and Monsters. And I do really like this. How you can't have the Doctor without monsters. But the monsters are worth it when you get the Doctor. And so I do really... I like this idea because this is what Doctor Who's all about. You can't have the Doctor without monsters. Rose can't go with the Doctor without experiencing all this strife and trouble and problems. And neither can any of the future companions or the past companions. And people on the outside don't understand it. We see that later with Martha Jones's mother. She really doesn't understand it for a while, but once you are with the Doctor, you understand. Same with Jackie Tyler. She didn't understand it for a while. She does now. She gets it, and she'll get it even more in the future. It is your life. The Doctor changed Rose. We knew this last series when she became the hero, and she became the strength because of the Doctor. So because of these monsters, because of this horrific stuff, she grew into this wonderful person who she couldn't have been before without him, because nothing had ever pushed her that way. And I do really like that. I mean, you can grow without the Doctor, but it's not as fast-paced and it's not as strong. And we really see that with Rose. We see that a little bit with Renette. I feel like because of the Doctor, she had the strength. She faced something so awful and so scary when she was just a kid that she had to face that fear and she had to grow past it. And I really like it. I really like how the doctor does that. How he brings out the strength in people, even with the monsters. So everybody hates the monsters, obviously, because who likes monsters? But she says it later, the monsters are worth it when you have the Doctor. Doctor makes the monsters worth it. And I really like that. Go Renette for your awesome line. Go Renette for sure. Okay, guys, that's the end of my clips, but I love the end of this episode as well. I didn't find a perfect clip for it. But the Doctor and his, just because it was more interior of the Doctor, it wasn't really what he said or what Renette said. It was his emotion, and so I couldn't really clip that. But he really felt something for Renette. I'm a little surprised. I mean, maybe it's because she went inside his head, but like more than just the regular. I mean, sometimes he one-off episodes really likes the girls. So maybe that's what it is. But anyhow, I don't know. Sorry, guys. This is really random. All these random words that I'm saying, and I apologize for it. I really like it. I really like his sadness at the end. It's quite an interesting way to end an episode. Again, Rose and Mickey, even though it's Mickey's first trip and it's like a big thing for him, they're really sidelined in this episode. It is mostly the Doctor and Renette. The Doctor sacrifices himself, Rose, and Mickey for Renette. Because he didn't just sacrifice himself. It's one thing to just sacrifice yourself. But Rose and Mickey can't get home without him. And they're stuck on this ship. That's stuck in space. So he's sacrificing all three of them. Didn't really ask them. But anyhow, Rose would have done it. I mean, she saves people. I don't know if Mickey would have done it. He's still a little new. But it's interesting to see that choice of the Doctor. It really shows who he is, that he will save a life no matter what. And he really had this connection with Renette. I don't know. Kind of weird. Kind of weird that in like literally a day... he, like, super connected with this woman. I don't know if I fully believe it, but you know the doctor. He connects really fast. That's all I really have to say about that. Okay, guys, what did you think about the episode? Obviously, I thought it was pretty awesome. I just love great production design, and they had great production design this episode, and great music, and great lighting, blah, 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 which is more production design, so that's not really any different than what I was just saying. The actress for Renette was fantastic. The doctor did great. Mickey and Rose, too, even though we didn't really see them much. I really like it. I like the funny jokes that they put in the middle there. The villain is pretty cool. I like the villain because it's not, how do I put this? It's not like a real villain. The villain has a purpose, has a true purpose. And it's not a purpose that is mean, really. I mean, it sort of is indirectly. I mean, it is mean, but only indirectly because they're just trying to fix the ship. That is their goal, to fix the ship. That's it. That's not a bad goal. That's a good goal. They want to fix it. The bad thing is they weren't ever told not to kill humans to do it. So, which is funny, they kill the entire crew, then they try to kill Renette. So it's interesting to see that. So I like how this villain is kind of a weird villain. Kind of weird. I like that spin on it. I enjoy the dialogue. Did I really say I enjoy the dialogue? The doctor has really funny lines. This episode is just overall really well done. My favorite character, obviously, Renette. My favorite moment. Ooh, there's so many good moments. Okay, top three. In no order. I love the moment when the doctor meets young Renette. It's very creepy. I feel like that's appropriate. I like the moment where Renette and the doctor brain join. What did I call that before? Anyhow, where she sees inside his head and he sees inside hers. I like that. And I also like the final moment where he is reading the letter from Renette. It's quite depressing. And I like to have lots of emotions while I watch TV, clearly. Really scary, kind of like romantic, deep kind of moment where we learn more about the doctor. And then really sad. I like to be emotional in shows, clearly. And yeah, those are my favorite parts. My least favorite part is probably the actual learning of the body parts in the ship. I like the idea, sort of, but I don't really like it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a good idea for the plot. It works well with the plot. It's just not to my taste. I don't usually like grotesque things, and that is kind of grotesque. My question's for you guys. Do you think it's believable that the doctor and Renette were so close? Do you believe that that's actually a thing? Second question is, do you kind of feel like this downplayed Mickey's first trip on the TARDIS? It wasn't about him at all. It was definitely not a Mickey-centric episode or Rose-centric. It was very doctor-centric. So do you think that downplayed his first trip? Or do you think it was good that he was just totally sidelined? Another question is, do you guys understand the whole thing about the ship wanting her brain? I still don't really get it. I mean, I kind of get it a little bit more, but don't really get it still. So let me know if you understand, because I don't really understand. And guys, I think that is it for this week. Wow, this is a well-paced episode, I think, because I feel like this went pretty quickly. But it is still the proper amount of time. So there you go. Next week, we have Series 2, Episode 5 and 6. A double episode, guys. This is The Rise of the Cybermen and The Age of Steel, directed by Graham Harper, written by Tom McRae. Original air dates are the 13th and the 20th of May, 2006. This is a great episode where we go to the parallel universe, which is a fun time. We meet Jackie Tyler and Pete Tyler. I love those moments. I love meeting the same characters. I love alternative worlds. Always a good time. Yeah, I like the doppelgangers. It's always fun to go to a place and it be like different, even though it's the same. Always fun. Lots of Zeppelins. Anyhow, I'm really excited to do that with you guys, and I'm so happy to talk to you guys again. So guys, again, thank you so much. Please rate and review on iTunes. You can go to my website, testgpodcast.com, to learn more about me or random things that you want to learn about. I will be putting up probably in this next week. Because we're coming to the end of the series, I will be putting up the fan poll. So please, 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 please enter some answers there. So that'll be in this next week. It'll be up there on the website. Please hashtag WASTGP and the handle at TestG Podcast whenever you mention me anywhere you want, Twitter, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Also, I have an email, testgpodcast@gmail.com, if you have any real questions, long, deep, thoughtful things you want to bring up with me. Also, I have a Patreon page, patreon.com/testgpodcast. It's also on my website, so you can just click the little Patreon button and support me any way that you can, which is just fantastic, guys. I love to talk to you. Obviously, I talk too much. Obviously, it's fun for me. So if you can please support me any way you can, I appreciate it so much. I am just so grateful that I have so many people listening. You are the best listeners ever. XOXO. Ciao for now.